Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin. Bez Hashem, Shalom Bayis, Shir number 630. We're talking about the dynamics of communication. The last two Shiurim, we talked about the first of the four modes of communication, and that is how to talk. And now in part two of the four, we're going to talk about how to listen. Listening is a tremendous chesed. And we were thinking for a long time, and Bez Hashem, we will, with Hashem's help, have Shiurim on listening, which is really an active aspect of chesed, to learn how to listen when your husband or wife is speaking to you. Listening doesn't just mean hearing what your spouse is saying. Listening means that you listen in the manner where your spouse actually feels that empathy and feels that you're listening to him or her. For example, if a husband is engrossed with his own business and his wife is trying to discuss something with him, even if he could repeat it back word for word exactly what she said, he's a sharp guy, and he answers like word for word exactly what she said, it may not count as real listening if the wife does not feel that she's being heard. Sometimes he gets frustrated. I heard you. I heard you already. But he really didn't hear in the deeper sense. So, you know, when someone wants to communicate to another person, the satisfaction of one speaking depends on how much he feels or she feels that the other person is listening to them. So you give them eye contact when they're talking. So there's a famous story, which is adapted from the book by Shimon Finkelman on Rav Moshe Feinstein. But it says here as follows, that during the summer months, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, would travel up to the Catskill Mountains. He carried with him a Tanakh wherever he went. When his wife had something to discuss with him, Rav Moshe would close the sefer while keeping his finger on the place and speak to his Rebbesin for any length of time, however long it took. When she finished speaking to him, Rav Moshe would open the Tanakh and continue studying until the Rebbesin had to speak to him again. Then he would close the sefer again until she would finish speaking and him listening for what she had to discuss with him. This is a tzaddik. This is a balmi. This tayves. This is a gadol be Yisrael. This is how you act, even with being mafsik in learning. You close it and you listen. And the author, Rabbi Chaim Morgenstern, whenever he tells this story, he adds the following statement. He says, "I doubt there's anyone in the audience who will ever be able to emulate Rav Moshe's hasmada, or coming close to reviewing Shas and Shulchan Aruch the number of times that Rav Moshe himself did, yet we all can reach his level of proper derech eretz. When someone is speaking to you, stop what you're doing and look at him." Very, very important. Together with eye contact, gestures are helpful too. You nod your head every so often to acknowledge that you're hearing. Sometimes, yes, I hear, very interesting. You have verbal expressions to show what your spouse is saying. You comment every so often on what was being said. And if your wife is excited, you respond emotionally back to him or her. Amazing, good. If they're happy, express happiness. If they're sad, express sadness. Seriousness, then express seriousness. Reflect their facial expressions with yours and be attuned to emotions behind the words that are being said. And with practice and skill, and empathy, you can do so. It's very important not to interrupt your spouse while he or she is talking. At times when a husband or wife is relating an incident, the other spouse will interrupt and interject, make minor corrections on irrelevant details, like the exact time this happened or event this happened, or the listener may interject, "I know the rest of the story." And that may cause these interruptions that the listener interrupts the speaker, will make the speaker feel that he or she is not being heard, not being understood. And also, you know, it's brought down in Pirkei Avos, Perek Hey Mishnah Test, that interrupting someone who's speaking is one of the seven traits of a goylem, an uncultured person. And one needs to work on that and make sure not to interrupt when the other person is speaking. Being a good listener is vital for a husband and wife to want to converse with each other, because the listening aspects creates that ratzayin, that will, for a person to want to communicate in a better and healthy way. If one finds that your spouse is talking more than other people, than with her, For example, if a wife feels that way, it could be that he feels that other people are more attentive and interested in what he's saying than his wife is. And if a wife talks more to other people, maybe it's because she feels that she's not being heard. So that's a very important insight. And so this is a brief synopsis of part two of how to listen. There's so much more to say on it. And Be'ezus Hashem, and I want to be reminded, and there's a lot of skills and tools one can learn to deepen this skill of listening, which Be'ezus Hashem, hopefully, with Hashem's help, we will get to. Part three of the communication is what to talk about. What should be the aspects of what to talk about? So it is a chiyuv for each and every husband and wife to know those topics that interest their spouse and what topics they do not like talking about. And they should learn this, if they're early in marriage still, learn it during Shana Rishayna. And their Ribui Sicha is recommended. You know, when it says, we talked about it, the Chazon Ish talked about it and others, this is why you need a Rebbe even when learning Perkei Avos. When it says, Al Tarbe Sicha Me'isha, right, don't talk too much for women. And the Chazal, for other women that are not your wife, it makes perfect common sense. But the Ishta Yamru, it says, even with your own wife. But the Chazon Ish, many other Gedolei Yisrael, basically says, especially Shana Rishayna, and in the context of marriage, you have to learn not to take this Mishnah in the most literal sense, because there are times where you need to speak and converse and be open, especially Shana Rishayna, or in marriages that are decades old, but you still want to institute some aspects of renewing this aspect of Shari Shain to renew your marriage. There, Ribui Sticha is indeed recommended to spend as much time talking to each other in whatever length that's needed to learn about what topics interest each other, what's going on in the other person's mind and heart. And when a couple discusses, let's say, the parsha by the Shabbos meal or reviews halachas with each other, figure out a way that's suited for the both of them. You know, sometimes we've mentioned this many times, with a couple, sometimes a husband and wife, they could learn together and it could be beautiful. Sometimes it could create some tension because a husband needs to realize that it's not chavrusas-like. A husband needs to realize his wife is not his chavrusa. Even when he learns with her, it's a different language and mode than learning with chavrusa. And a wife needs to understand that a man studies in a different way than she's accustomed to from her method of learning and whatever her background was. It's a sad thing. It's very, very sad, he says, and it's so true. It's sad that, you know, couples sometimes say they're not able to talk with each other after years of marriage because they have nothing in common anymore, or what they already know they know, and what they don't, they're so different. So the author of Chaim Morgenstern always counsels couples who claim this to spend time together, make a list of topics that are mutual interest for each other, and he gives other very, very insightful suggestions of what you can do to enhance the relationship with this way and to renew sparks of conversations. One of these aspects is to take out some old picture albums as an example, to discuss and relive happy and enjoyable experiences that they shared. You know, you don't have to look at how in shape you were weight-wise then, you know, when you're looking at these pictures and now you're out of shape, you don't have to focus on that or the gray hairs, so on and so forth. But you go back and reminisce on those old simchas and old vacations. One couple told the author that they did this each Matzah Shabbos for a certain period of time, and it worked wonders in their relationship, in their marriage. Very often, if they have similar interests with each other in particular topics, to listen to an interesting shiur together on a mutual interesting subject, and then stopping that shiur every 15 minutes to discuss what the speaker said. If you're these days, Baruch Hashem, you have so many podcasts, Meaningful Minute podcasts, and Chai, whatever it is, all these things where there's so many myriad ideas of topics. It is almost impossible that a husband and wife can't find together mutual topics that will align with each other and would help with each other. If they're both interested, let's say, in money matters, they could discuss, they have podcasts pertaining to that, whatever it is. Now the idea is, and this is not good for what we're doing here, sometimes to listen together for shiur and shalom bayis, which will cause each other to notice each other's faults while overlooking their shortcomings, could be detrimental. So You know, we have this panimi shiurim here, which we give to men separately and women separately. And then we have a joint one, you know, that you know, they both could listen to because it's addressed to both. But if you sense that there's a tension when you're listening together to these type of shiurim, like what we're doing right now, then don't listen together. Listen separately and then, you know, adapt with the tools that you can. You have to really figure it out that it shouldn't avoid it, because sometimes what happens is with all types of shiurim on Shalom Bayis or Tikkun Midos, is we focus sometimes on what the other person needs to fix versus ourselves. So we have to be careful with that. So maybe a shiur on Shalom Bayis, even this to do together, will not always work. So you pick something that's interesting, not so, you know, light or whatever it is to do that. The studying Torah together, same idea. It could really work in a beautiful way. Newlyweds sometimes have a short 5-minute Seder before and after dinner. People, couples with children, will try to find slots, evenings or Shabbos, or, as a starter, the author of Chaim Morgenstern advised couples to learn together 10 or 15 minutes once or twice a week. Somebody's reviewing the laws of Taras HaMishpacha, or Shabbos, or Brachais, or Hilchos Lashon Hara with the Chavetz Chaim, or on Shabbos discussing a little bit the Pirkei weekly Parsha during the summer months, Pirkei Avos. And then with this, if they do it right, they could discover a whole new world of conversation that they never thought existed before. Again, they should really talk to each other what their preferences are. Some women, for example, like to talk about hashkafa or musar. Others are more interested in halacha. Others enjoy sipurei tzadikim, you know. So you figure out those ideas that connect with each other with this, or play a game with each other. All of these things. So this is a proactive approach. And it's very important, because once a person is married for a while, this is one of the things that they get resigned. Oh, this is the way it's going to be. This is the way it always will be. And it'll never change. And it's an incorrect approach. It's an incorrect approach with all forms of Avodas Hashem. When you're serving Hashem, when you want to renew your cheshik for tefillah or for learning or for whatever it is. It's so important not to get caught into this negative pattern of thinking, oh, this is the way it is, and nothing's really going to change, and so on and so forth. That's not a healthy aspect of it. So it pays to do these concepts, to advise, to do this, to what to talk about, to find ways to find similar conversations that they both would align with, and really work towards this. And this could really enhance and change and transform the Shalom Bayis in the house. Bracha v'atzlacha.